G'day everyone, you're on the Rugby Pass Podcast. Scotty Stevenson with you as we look ahead to Test Match Weekend. We have the Saffers playing the Irish, the All Blacks playing Wales, and the Wallabies hosting the English in what I can only assume is one of the most anticipated June tours in a long time. And on that note, it's a pleasure to welcome into the podcast this week Sean Maloney out of Fox Sports Australia. Maloney, I can't remember a time where the build-up to an All Blacks series was overshadowed by the build-up to a Wallaby series.
Potentially 2013 when we hosted the Lions. That was a big deal over here. Everyone got on board for that. But outside of that, Sumo, when you talk June Test Series, none trigger the imagination. None get the fire in the belly like Australia v England, and that's what lays in wait this weekend. First Test Suncorp Stadium, Brisbane, where England have never defeated the Wallabies.
We were talking last week, Shawnee, and I reckon this is the game for the Wallabies. They lay down a marker in Brisbane. Conditions, I don't know what they're like for the game, but I know Michael Checker will have his team pretty pumped up and ready to fire. Can you give us an insight into his mindset this weekend? Much was made about the battle between Eddie Jones and Michael Checker, former teammates, former club men from Randwick, I believe.
Yep.
But I don't know if we've seen every shot fired.
No. He's holding his cards very close to his check. There's been nary a bit of boo out of Michael Checker. Eddie Jones has been the one left to do the promoting in many regards. He's been the one that's been bigger on the chat since touching down. He was calling conspiracy theories out, you know, shortly after arriving at Sydney International. So he's been the one who's been firing the majority of the shots. The Aussies have just been slow and steady. They're based up in Caloundra at the moment, Sumo. They're on the Sunshine Coast. Hell of a spot, I'll tell you that. Hell of a spot. But they've been going at it and they've been sort of bunkered away. So maybe as we get a little bit closer to kick off, we might start seeing a little bit more come out of the Aussie camp.
Is it an intentional move from Michael Checker not to engage with Eddie Jones, knowing that he's a noted beta of the opposition? Is this Checker saying the easiest way to get you off your game is actually not to play your game?
Well, potentially, but I mean, if they were to go toe-to-toe in a slanging match or start tossing some more barbs at one another, I'd pay cash to sit front row at a press conference where those two are exchanging. They are so animated and they're so engaging in what they deliver and what they have to say. But, maybe he's just waiting for test two. Wait till you see how the first one plays out and then you can start to perhaps turn the screw, start needling back the other way.
After Eddie Jones, England's last warm-up game against Wales, they outscored the opposition 5-1. Quite an interesting press conference following that match from Eddie Jones. When all the press wanted to talk about Owen Farrell's kicking woes, he missed 6 of 7. Eddie Jones said, hey, we scored 5-1. That's what it's all about. I put it to you that the Australian teams in this year's Super Rugby competition have struggled to find the try line at times. How does Michael Checker look at the form of Super Rugby and then transfer that across into this Wallaby team and say, we can score, we will score, because that's what Checker likes to do?
Let's go back to the World Cup. The last time we saw the Aussies in action, Sumo, and try-scoring was not an issue. They played with plenty of intent. You know, they look at what they did to England. They absolutely buried them with some wonderfully crafted tries in that pool game against the host nation. And we saw it all the way throughout, even against your men, against the All Blacks. They still scored a couple of very, very handy tries. So I don't think that the Super Rugby form, I mean, I don't know how you guys look at Super Rugby form, but I think that'll count for a whole lot in terms of the way the Aussies go in terms of not being able to score tries. We're starting to see some of their key men fire big time. Izzy Folau's hit a rich vein of form. He's going to cause headaches. He'll be sniffing around. He'll be sniffing for the try line. And there's a number of other guys as well who'll be in and amongst the mix. Don't worry about the Wallabies' try-scoring potency.
The England side's a good side, and Eddie Jones made no secret of the fact he wanted some mongrel back in the team. When he took the job, he said, I need guys, and I won't repeat the word he used to the British press, but it starts with C and ends in T, and quite often used as a pejorative slang for a female genitalia. He wanted a bit of that back in the team, and he's got that. There are a number of players in this English side who bring a real determination to the way they play football. Are they going to have too much of a hard edge for the Wallaby forwards?
No, I don't see that. If you want to, I'll trade you hard for hard. You want to go hard for hard, Sumo? You can have your Hartleys and the like, but what about the Aussies when you've got grizzled, gnarly heads like Stephen Moore? What about when you're looking at the bashed-up noggin of Scott Fardy? What about David Pocock? You could launch an elephant gun at that man and not shift him. Hey?
I think someone actually has tried that before.
I will trade you hard for hard. There is no way the Aussies are going to be intimidated. If there's one thing we've seen them change their mind, their mind game around that physicality side of things. They don't shirk it anymore. They're happy to rush in. If there's an eagle, you watch, they rush from all over. Sure, no one's going to throw a punch, but they're just saying to the opposition, and they did it last year against the All Blacks in that opening Bledisloe Cup game, Sumo. They rush in, they're up for one another, and that's exactly what they're going to do against the English.
Owen Farrell is one of the form players of European rugby, I believe, and he's a damn fine first five as well. His matchup against, I'm assuming, Bernard Foley will get the starting job for Michael Checker. Is this a key matchup for you in the game, given Bernard Foley likes to run the ball and given Owen Farrell can also run pretty hard and is a very good defender? Are we going to see Bernard Foley trying to attack Owen Farrell to test his shoulder, or are we going to see a more limited and conservative game plan from a man who loves to take the pill under the wing?
No, I don't see any form of conservation on the behalf of Bernard Foley. I think they'll play with width. I think they'll shift the ball around because it served them so well. I mean, that's the thing. This is their first hit out. This is their first hit out since the World Cup. And, you know, why would you change what was so successful in getting you through to
They got second.
They did get second, but you got to keep in mind as well that the Aussies got within 4 points at one stage in that final before losing their way at the back end.
You guys will hang on to anything over there.
Don't dredge that up. You're right, it's going to be one of the key matchups.
Are you underestimating the English? I know you're a Wallabies man. You're an Australian broadcaster. Are you underestimating what this English team is capable of?
No, I'm not. You know, I'm definitely not. And you look at some of the other players. I mean, guys like Alex Good, their fullback. Watch him going around with Saris in the
Premiership.
Who do they play, Sumo? In the Championship, and then again through the Heineken Cup. We still call it the Heineken Cup over here. It sits so much better. I mean, he's a phenomenal player. There's a chance he might not even start. So that goes to show you the level of depth this English side has got. And we know how good they are. And that's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of this June Test series.
Shawnee, we know that rugby sometimes struggles for eyeballs in Australia compared to the other big footballing codes there, the AFL and, of course, the NRL. But have you noticed an upswing in interest since the arrival of the English, knowing that this June series is back on the table and knowing also how much or how little regard Australians generally have for the British?
Yeah. And I tell you what, I'm sorry that I have to keep bringing up the World Cup, but it was a transitional period for Australian rugby and Australian rugby fans. And I'll tell you why, because for the first time since probably 2003, Sumo, ahead of that final, all throughout the Sydney CBD, the night of, I saw people dressed head to toe in Wallaby gold. That just does not happen. They were streaming out of bars and pubs and clubs. They were jammed in like sardines. You couldn't find a seat in most of those spots to watch those games. And that is still filtering, still lurking around ahead of this series. And it's just so nice to see that people are happy to start buying back into Test rugby because, as we both know, that's what it's all about.
You're on the Rugby Pass podcast as we build up to the opening Test matches of the June series. South Africa taking on Ireland, New Zealand taking on Wales, and the Wallabies taking on England. And we're joined on the podcast this week by Fox Sports commentator and broadcaster Sean Maloney. Shawnee, a quick break here before we get into a couple of the other games. A little quick fire round for you right now. Five
love
questions.
Quick fire. Five I love questions. Quick fire. I'm to, nutty for it.
I know you are. Five questions for our listeners today on who Sean Maloney thinks he is. Are you ready?
Go.
Sean Maloney, question number one. What was the first game of rugby you remember watching?
That is a hell of a question. You know what? I'm a big Manly rugby man, Sumo. Have been all my life, which is a side that plays in the Shoot Shield over here in Sydney. We'd be going back to probably 92, where Manly first grade won on the bell. I was a ball boy that day against East. They won. And that sticks out for me. You know, that's 92. God, that's a long time ago.
That is ancient, Shawnee. That is ancient.
Yeah, I know.
Question number two for you, Sean Maloney. If you could have picked any other sport bar rugby, what would it have been?
Oh, NFL. No question. NFL. The way that those guys go about their work, nacho hats in the stands, it's just my type of game.
Question number three, Sean Maloney. You now commentate rugby, both sevens and 15s for Fox Sports, and of course World Rugby as well on the Sevens World Series. What is the one game that sticks out for you above all others that you have commentated?
Oh, that is a great question. Can I have two?
You can have two.
All right, and I want to go to the most recently completed World Rugby Sevens, HSBC World Rugby Sevens series. I was lucky enough to call Kenya's first ever cup win in Singapore. They down Fiji, and when I say they down Fiji, they absolutely dismantled the best team, best sevens team on the planet. Sumo, they've been to the races 114 times prior to that for nil cup wins.
That's it.
They smashed them. And then, just a couple of tournaments later, Samoa v Fiji in the City of Love, Paris, which you know well.
Never been.
Samoa, you've never been. We'll get back to that in a moment. Samoa come back from the death. They're down 26-7 at halftime against Fiji in the cup final, and they find a way to rumble back into it. And that match had everything, Sumo. It had streakers, it had amazing tries, and it had probably the biggest comeback win in a cup final in sevens history.
Very intrigued that you went with two sevens games there and your picks of your commentary career, Shawnee. Question number four, who is the funniest man you've ever worked with in a commentary box?
In a commentary box? Oh, I'm just loving what you're throwing up at the moment. You know, Stephen Hoyles, new to the game, new to the media game, is as witty, dry, funny as they come. Greg Martin is brilliant. He's over the top and loud. Mate, you know what? That's the beauty of the guys that we work with. And I'm not just trying to have a foot in every camp. They're all very laid back, all very funny guys. If you were serious and just about the game, you wouldn't last in the game. Our guys are loosey-goosey, and I love each and every one of them. Kaif, another favourite.
Very nice, Shawnee. I noted you didn't choose me at all there, although we've worked together.
I haven't had the opportunity to work with you in a commentary box. If you had a said studio show, you know where I'm at on that whole front. Yeah, I'm at.
Yeah, I'm sensitive about these things, as you well know, Sean. Question number five. It's not about me. It's about
not
you.
Yet.
Last
Go.
Question as we get to know who Sean Maloney thinks he
Go.
Is. What team in world rugby has the greatest supporters?
You know what? Greatest supporters. Oh, dearie me. I wasn't expecting this at this time of the day.
No.
That's what I love about the quickfire, Sumo. You know what? I'm going to go sevens again. The Fijian sevens fans, they are something else. And then I reckon, if we're going to go test level, we're going to go, yeah, okay, I've got it. I know where I want to go with this. I like fans that have fun at the rugby, who can mix and match it. And you know who I'm going to throw in there? You're not expecting this, Scott Stevenson. I'm going to toss in the Zoo. I'm going with the Highlanders. What do you call them now? They're the Scarfies.
The Scarfies, that's right.
Because they are just kids and they're having a crack and they're at the footy. And that's what we need. We need more 18 and 9-year-old people at the footy having a blast, because you know what? 5-10 years from now, when they're having kids, we want them taking them to the footy and saying, this is how you do.
Yeah, well, I hope they don't do it the way they do it. They do it on a $5 goon sack of cheap red wine from the
don't
Lee
care,
Street liquor
don't
store.
Don't care. That's making lemonade. That's what you call that.
Shawnee, been a pleasure to get to know who Sean Maloney thinks he is. You're on the Rugby Pass podcast as we build into Test Match Weekend. South Africa taking on Ireland, New Zealand taking on Wales, and the Australians hosting the English. Let's move on. Sean Maloney, our guest today out of Fox Sports Australia. South Africa, Ireland, is the this all one-way traffic, or is this the series that you think will be the hardest to call?
I am with you on the latter part of that. I think this one is going to be rather tight. I just worry, though, for a number of these Northern Hemisphere sides, Sumo, in terms of fatigue factor, when they get to their third test, I mean, these guys have been playing a lot of rugby for a long, long time. And I don't know what's going to be left in the tank for them, but I think certainly early on that Ireland could get close to South Africa. I haven't been overly impressed outside of the lines, with some of the former, the South African Super Rugby teams. So I think Ireland can get mighty close against the Bocker.
Yeah, I'm with you, mate. And Alistair Coetzee's first series in charge of the Springboks, a noted defensive man after all those years with the Stormers. Be really interesting to see how he goes. And across the ditch here, mate, I know you'll be taking a close interest in the All Blacks taking on the Welsh. First test at Eden Park, and we were talking about this last week. New Zealand has not lost there since 1994, and in fact it's been 22,816 days since Wales last beat the All Blacks. Is this fait accompli, or do you think the Welsh can spring an ambush on a new look All Black side?
Of course, that last victory from Wales against New Zealand over there in Cardiff back in 53, Sumo, when a strong dogged coal mining outfit from Wales triumphed the New Zealand side before they went on to sweep all the other nations on their Grand Slam tour. Took a long time before that happened again, but I digress. This time round,
it's very good recall from you.
This time round, I think it's gonna be all New Zealand, and I know that at the start of the start of our little chat today, I mentioned to you that in terms of Australian rugby and Super Rugby not particularly being totally reliant on each other in terms of form. I think the opposite can be said for New Zealand rugby, because so many of the men who will wear black this weekend, this isn't from an Aussie perspective, have impressed so greatly this year in Super Rugby. And I can't wait to see them go around this weekend. I cannot wait to see the likes of Barrett, who I just can't get enough of, come off the bench. Cruden, Aaron Smith sniping. And I want to see big minutes for this man, Artie Saveia. I want to see that do of his cutting around. I'll say it once, I'll say it a million times. Ain't nobody do the do like Artie does.
I'll tell you what, you're not going to get big minutes out of Artie Saveia in this first test. I hate to disappoint you. This is all about Sam Kane. This
Give me 10. Match. I'll take 10.
This
15.
Is all about Sam Kane. This is the new guy in the most famous jersey in All Black history. It is his and his alone. No more hiding behind Richie McCaw. This is Sam Kane's test match.
Can I ask you, what is the most famous jersey? Is it the 7 or the 10 of the All Blacks?
I reckon it's got to be the 7.
Do you?
Yeah, despite all the greats that have been through that 10 jersey.
Is that because you hear it so often, hands off Black 7? Is that why? Is it because you hear it? It's rammed into your head, into your subconscious?
I mean, just look at the players. Look at the players all the way back, all the way back.
But what about in the 10 jersey, mate? The likes of Fox, Mertens. You love Mertens. I love Mertz. You know, the 10 has housed. The 10 jersey, All Blacks 10 jersey, has housed some greats in the game. Great dudes, too.
Well, I wonder, Shawnee, next time we do this Rugby Pass podcast, maybe we should debate this issue. Which is the most famous rugby number in all of rugby? And I would still put it to you, it would be the black number 7.
Okay, I'll usurp that. And I'll just say across two countries, the number 11 of Lomu and the 11 of Campese.
That's
look,
not
we'll
bad.
Talk about that another time, but just to throw that in the mix as well.
All right, Shawnee, always a pleasure to chat to you, mate. Thank you for joining us on the Rugby Pass podcast. Good luck to you and the Wallabies as they take on the English in Brisbane this weekend, while we focus on the Welsh and the South Africans focus on the Irish. Always a pleasure, mate. Go well.
To you and yours as well, Sumo. To you and yours.
Sean Maloney there, and that's it for another week on the Rugby Pass podcast. Don't forget, all the test matches, all live, where you want it, when you want it, rugbypass.com. Go there today.